on this 20th day of November 2011 in New Raman Reddy Dhammalachwa. We're speaking on the Sunday feast, and we're going to discuss a little bit tonight about what is really valuable and what should we invest ourselves in. And we'll begin with discussion of text 40 in Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is. Some of you know this verse. Neha vikramanashosti pratyabhayo navidyate swapamapyasya dharmasya trayate mahatobayat. Lord Krishna says to Arjuna, in this endeavor there is no loss or diminution, and a little advancement on this path can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. The Prabhupada says in his purport, activity in Krishna consciousness, or acting for the benefit of Krishna without expectation of sense gratification, is the highest transcendental quality of work. Even a small beginning of such activity finds no impediment, nor can that small beginning be lost at any stage. Any work begun on the material plane has to be completed, otherwise the whole attempt becomes a failure. But any work begun in Krishna consciousness has a permanent effect, even though not finished. The performer of such work is therefore not at a loss, even if his work in Krishna consciousness is incomplete. 1% done in Krishna consciousness bears permanent results, so that the next beginning is from the point of 2%. Whereas in material activity, without 100% success, there is no profit. Ajami performed his duty in some percentage of Krishna consciousness, but the result he enjoyed at the end was 100% by the grace of the Lord. There is a nice verse in this connection in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.5.17. Some of you know it. Chakva sradharmam chadanam bhajan hare bhajan apokva tapate tato yadi yatrakva bhajandrama bhudhamushyakim kovata apto bhajatam sradharmataha. If someone gives up his occupational duties and works in Krishna consciousness and then falls down on account of not completing his work, what loss is there on his part? And what can one gain if one performs his material activities perfectly? Or, as the Christians say, what profiteth a man if he gain the whole world, yet suffer the loss of his eternal soul? Material activities and their results end with the body. But work in Krishna consciousness carries a person again to Krishna consciousness, even after the loss of the body. At least one is sure to have a chance in the next life of being born again as a human being, either in the family of a great cultured Brahmin or in a rich aristocratic family, that will give one a further chance for elevation. That is the unique quality of work done in Krishna consciousness. Om Jnana Tamarandasya Jnanandana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Mena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. My spiritual master Srila Prabhupada opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisance to him and all members of Sri Parampara. So before we begin discussing this verse and its implications, just a quick review of the basics of Krishna consciousness as expressed in the Bhagavad Gita, for those of you who are here for the first time, or need a reminder, as we all do. And that is that we are not material beings. We are spirit. We are pure spirit. And we neither die nor are born. But we, as we all know very well, the body that we now inhabit took birth at a certain time and will die at a certain time. So this is the first lesson of Krishna consciousness. So the problem is that we are taking the interests of the body, of the senses, and even the mind, which is a subtle body, as our own interest. And we have lost sight completely of the true interests, or as we say, artha, swa-artha, of the soul. And so the whole teachings of the Bhagavad Gita and the other shastra that Srila Prabhupada has given us is to bring us back into the proper channel of actually working for our ultimate self-interest or our ultimate benefit. And with it, the benefit of the whole world and everyone else. As Arjuna famously says in text 7 of chapter 2, Yakshreya Ksyanishitam Bruhitanme Shishyastahim Sharimantvam Papannam. He's asking Krishna to tell him for certain how he can achieve his ultimate shreya, ultimate benefit. Up until this point, he's been arguing with Krishna as on an equal level, friend to friend. If you recall, Arjuna didn't want to fight in the battle. And for a very good reason, from a material point of view, not that he was afraid of dying. It's a given that the great Kshatriyas are not afraid of dying. But he was afraid, or very hesitant, to kill his worshipable guru in the form of Dronacharya, the grandfather of the whole clan in Bhishma, and so many other relatives and friends who he loved. A compassionate Vaishnav doesn't want to do any violence unless it's absolutely necessary. And Arjuna at this point, when he was covered by Yoga Maya, by the agency of Krishna, was seeing that, what do I care about this kingdom? You know, I don't care about the kingdom. I'd much rather leave the battlefield and not be involved in the killing of my friends and relatives and my worshipable guru. So this was Arjuna's calculation. And he was arguing in the first chapter with Krishna and even at the beginning of the second chapter. But then the key element was he surrendered to Krishna as a guru rather than a friend and took a different position. And he said, basically, I can't figure it out. I can't figure out what my real dharma is, what my duty is, and how I can achieve my ultimate good. So you please tell me. And immediately Krishna chastised him and said, well, you're focusing on the body, the temporary body. You're forgetting the eternal soul. And then for 20 verses, he has this concise lesson on the difference between the body and the soul. And within that lesson, he has this telling verse, Nasato vidite bhavo, nabhavo vidite sataha. That for the asat, or the temporary, which includes this body, there is ultimately no existence. And for the sat, or the eternal soul, there's no non-existence. In other words, that is the reality. When we lose sight of that, there's no chance of our really achieving any ultimate good in our lives. Everything is based on a false platform. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 11th canto, Krishna emphasizes this point, and repeatedly, he compares this material life and material absorption with the dream world, dreamlike life. And each of us experiences nightly a dream. Sometimes we forget them, sometimes we can remember them. But we have experience all the time. And in that dream, what is the body doing? It's just lying there, it's not doing anything. It's just breathing, basically staying alive. But our real activity is within that dream world. And in that dream world, we can be very happy, we can be afraid, we can be someone else. You know, we can be somewhere else. There's a whole reality created. But then when we wake up, the dream life dissipates. And if it was a good dream, we say, oh, let me go back to sleep. Maybe I can get that dream back. And if it's a nightmare, it says, oh, thank God, I was only dreaming. Right? But either way, it's over. It's not, you know, it's not real. But it's very clear from the Bhagavad philosophy, from the Bhagavad Gita, that this waking life is also a kind of dream. Because it's temporary. That's the key. It's temporary. So, back to our verse. Now Arjuna is now, Krishna is now telling Arjuna that in the endeavor of Krishna consciousness, he's speaking about working without fruitive results. And we know what that means. It means working for Krishna's benefit. It means focusing on Krishna and giving our attention and our desire to please to Krishna. There is no loss. There is no diminution. Now, what in this world can you find that there's no loss and no diminution? The reason why I picked this topic is because in the minds of many people, maybe less so in this group or devotees, but there is a great deal of anxiety about loss and diminution. People are thinking that their investments, they had their investments in their houses, in their pensions, in their retirement accounts, and there has been loss and diminution, sometimes completely lost. You have so many cheaters. Capitalism is based on cheating and con artists, right? The exemplar for that, Bernie Madoff, right? But it's true of everything. The banks, they're trying to convince you to give them your money, loan them your money, you know? And with the hope that you'll get more back. But what you don't remember is that by the time you get it back, the money itself will be worth less per dollar by inflation. Right, so there's all kinds of ways that these demons figure out how to cheat you. And as Srila Prabhupada famously told us, you remember the story of the wrong bank account? The wrong bank account. So this was an extreme example. But everybody's doing that. This poor fellow, he thought he was working very hard and saving very, very religiously. Every week he'd save $100 or whatever percentage it was. And he deposited. And then he came to be 75 years old, whatever, it's time to withdraw his money. for the retirement account, and they found, all these years he's putting his money in the wrong bank account. He thought it a different number. One number was off or whatever. He has nothing. Is it? But at the end, we all have nothing materially. What does Krishna say? 10th chapter. Mrityu sarvaharas chaham. As death, I take everything away. Everything material. I take it all away. Because after all, you may have $1 billion, $10,000, $10 billion, but it all depends on the fact that your name is on that account, right? Your name is on that bond, whatever it may be. But that name is attached to this body. And this body, once it's gone, what happens to all that account? It doesn't mean anything. The next person, your heirs or the government or somebody else enjoys it. So you see how the investment, now we'll talk about investing, because we invest every day. We invest our attention, we invest our life air, we invest our emotional and mental and intellectual energies in something. Students are investing in their education. The elders are investing in some business or in some relationship, right? So the idea of investment with the expectation of return is universal. So Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam are telling us where to invest for the highest return. And here Krishna promises, you'll never lose. You can never lose in this investment. Even if you just invest a few moments in Krishna consciousness, or a little bit of your energy, you'll have that for eternity. Everything material you have will be gone. But when you leave this body, and you come into the next body, that will be part of the structure of your consciousness. And you'll take up from 2% if you did 1%. But why only do 1%? Why not do 10, 15, 20, or 100% if you can? Because if you invest everything in this, you get back everything. You get Krishna. You get a place in the spiritual world. So I'm going to discuss this concept of artha now. So artha means value. Something of value. In the context of the four purusharthas, we know what they are, right? Dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Now, artha in that context means wealth. Religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation. These are things that universally people value. Right? Now in this culture, because it's so demoniac and people have taken shelter of science and technology and these things, there's less and less reliance on religiosity. And more just on technology to get artha. Artha in order for kama. Artha and kama. Artha and kama. This is basically what's going on. Liberation, furthest from the people's mind. Right? But actually, the idea of liberation, in a common sense, can be understood though when you're trying to escape from any difficulty or misery in this world, that's the hint of the desire for liberation. Liberation simply means liberation from all miseries, all difficulties. No more death, no more birth, no more threefold miseries, miseries from others, from natural disturbances, from your own body and mind. All finished. You know, that's something to be valued, right? So, but in Krishna consciousness, we understand there's a fifth artha. There's a fifth thing of value. Anyone remember what that is? Prema. Prema, pumarto, mahan. There's the word artha again. Lord Chaitanya teaches, for the human beings, the real artha is prema, a pure love for Krishna. And it automatically gives liberation. So that artha is completely unknown. Now, this word artha comes up in the discussion between Prahlad Maharaj preaching to his father in these famous verses. Now, he has these three verses. We're going to run through them really quickly because they're very instructive. So he says there, my dear father, matir na krishne padatak svatova mito vivadyeta grihapratam adanta gogir adanta vishatam tamisam punak punash charvita charvanana. Very instructive. So he's telling his father, my dear father, oh, best of the demons in another context, don't worry, you'll never become Krishna conscious. Not a chance. For those who are senses are out of control, who only see the value, basically, in sense gratification, they can't place their mind on Krishna. Matir na krishne. Either on their own, or by meeting in conferences, or by someone else instructing. Because the senses are out of control. Adanta gobhir. And they've taken a firm vow to enjoy material life, grihavratana. And they enter further and further into darkness, vishatam tamisram. And what is their business? Punak punaschavitacharvanana. Again and again, chewing the chewed. Again and again, viewing the viewed. How many different varieties of screens are there in this world where people are trying? You know, I was on the airplane. Everybody's got their little screen or their bigger screen, the iPod or whatever, or iPad. And everyone's absorbed in viewing something, right? Seeing something. So, but it's just taking them more and more into darkness. They're more and more forgetting their real interest. In fact, they may identify so much with the interest of the, quote, avatar on the screen. You know, with the games, right? The role-playing games. These poor kids, they die on the screen. They forget their body, and they're for 20 hours, 25 hours straight, they're playing games with people all over the world, kids all over the world in the internet. You know better than I what's going on there. So, but this is Madhya Nikrishna. You see, they've forgotten millions of miles away from Krishna. So then the next verse, Prahlad uses this word artha. Nate vidu svartha katimi vishnum. Durashaya ye bahirartha manina. Adanta andaya thandaya rupandiya mana tepi shitam tram rudani bhadha. So in this verse, which Srila Prabhupada quoted very often, even more than the first one, he says that such people who are repeatedly chewing the chew, looking again and again in this material world for some enjoyment that they've already experienced in this life or previous lives, they don't understand that the ultimate goal, the ultimate value, is Vishnu, is Krishna. Nadevadu svaartha gatimi Vishnu. The goal of the soul, if you will, the real need of the soul, is to get back with Krishna, where we came from. And because they forget that, durashaya ye bahiratamani, the mind is always absorbed in external goals, which are never to be achieved. Durashaya, it's impossible to achieve. And they're encouraged in this illusion by other blind people, right? We grow up, how do we know anything? Well, we're instructed, the mother, the father, the teachers, we get older, we take, you know, we revere politicians or whoever it may be. There's so many inputs. But if all of them are blind to the real need for the soul, how are we ever going to become enlightened? We can't. So it's blind leading the blind, everyone's falling into a ditch. And everyone stays tightly bound up by the strong ropes of illusion and the three modes of nature. So what's the solution? Naisham matistava rudukramandin spishit janata pagamoyadata mahiya sambhadara jobishekam nishkintanadam havanita yavat. Until and unless, that says Prahlad Maharaj, Mahajan, until and unless one bathes himself in the foot dust of the pure devotee of Krishna, one cannot achieve the artha or the goal of touching Krishna's lotus feet. In other words, becoming Krishna conscious, which gets rid of all unarthas. It's very, very poetic. He says, Urukramandin skushati anartha apagamo yadartha. So it's a great value to get rid of all unnecessary and unneeded things. You see? The artha of getting rid of all unartists. I mean, one cannot achieve that unless one surrenders to a spiritual master. Now why is that? Because these great devotees, such as Srila Prabhupada, they come to this world, they're sent to this world, precisely to give another means of instruction, knowledge, that's beyond the purview of all of this ignorance that we've been fed for eons. So that person, that representative of Krishna, which is teaching us this whole other way of thinking about ourselves, thinking of the world, and giving us the process for achieving it, is invaluable. That's what's called an intervention. And if we take advantage of that intervention and really find such a person, and bathing in the foot dust means surrender, then we have a chance of reforming. It's just like getting rid of an addiction. You know? We've been addicted for many, many births to this external goals, the sense gratification, is unlimited varieties. A very nice verse in the 15th chapter where Krishna's describing transmigration. And he says, What is that? Sakshu sparshanam sa rasanam granam evacha adishtaya manishtaya vishayanupasevate. So when we transmigrate, we get another set of ears, eyes, and all the senses, and there's a suitable set of sense objects for those senses. And it uses the word upasevate. Now upasevate, you look it up in the dictionary, Sanskrit dictionary, and one of the meanings is to be addicted to. So by repeatedly experiencing sense pleasure through the senses, we become addicted to it, and we take it to be the source of pleasure. So that addiction has to be broken. And it's impossible to do it on our own. What does Krishna say? Daivyesha gunamani mamalaya durakyaya. That there's three modes of nature conducting these different varieties of sense gratification. Impossible to get beyond on our own. But if we surrender to Krishna, which means surrender to his representative, practically speaking, then we can cross beyond it. So what happens in that case? Well, we get knowledge. Just like we're getting knowledge from the Bhagavad Gita. And then if we are fortunate, we have the inspiration to follow that instruction and begin bhajan, begin the practice of chiefly chanting the holy name, chanting the Hare Krishna mantra especially. And that gives us, then Krishna, from within, the contact of the holy name immediately gives us another platform of enjoyment. That enjoyment is not material. It's the real awakening of the pleasure of the soul in contact with Krishna. And it's that pleasure, we're pleasure-seeking beings. There's nothing to be ashamed of. It's that pleasure is a what shall I call it? The antidote to all the addictions, to all the sense gratifications we have. And anyone who chants, everyone can testify that things that seem to be impossible to give up, then when you begin chanting, because many of you grew up in the movement, maybe you never had these experiences, but I used to be, four regs, just the opposite, four sinful pillars. That was just my way of life. I mean, many can testify who, came in their 20s or, like that. But after just, a short time, they became abominable, They became something that you would, meat eating? Are you kidding? Who would even think of it? It's just horrible to think of. But even just a few months earlier, it was just a regular thing that you did. So that can be there for every latent sense, because they're very deep-seated. Many, many lifetimes we've been cultivating them. That can be there for everything, until spontaneously attracted to serve Krishna. Now, serving Krishna means serving our real self. This is important to understand. In Krishna consciousness, there's this one phrase, you learn these phrases, achintya beta beta tattva, Lord Chaitanya taught, that's part of his teachings. And simply put, it means that everything in this world, everything in existence, is simultaneously one with and different from Krishna. Inconceivably simultaneously one with and different from Krishna. And that, therefore we are one with Krishna. Now we emphasize the difference in bhakti yoga, and that's because we're not maya bodies. There's no question of merging. You never lose your identity. But we shouldn't forget the oneness also. Because serving Krishna means serving our true self. Serving the body means serving something other than the self. And so there's this great prayer, which I like to focus on sometimes, that Lord Chaitanya teaches Sanatana Goswami. He's quoting from Madhavendra Puri here. And he says, Kama dina katina katita padita durni deshas. Tesham jata mayina kaduna natrapano pishantihi. Utsri jayatam atiyatupate sampratam labdha buddhis tvamayata shadunamabayam maundayum svatmadasya. So I put this in a little poem. You get the advertiser. In how many ways have I sought to obey the seductive demands of my wicked desires? They've shown me no mercy, yet on I've gone shamelessly trying to quench lust's unquenchable fires. But now I'm rejecting these hellish desires, from a higher intelligence now has awoken. O Krishna, O shelter of fearlessness, please let me serve you with faith that will never be broken. So in little purport there, Prabhupada says, this is the mood that we should chant Hare Krishna in. Yeah. Now what's going on here? First of all, he enumerates And he says, for so many lifetimes, I've been obeying the demands of my enemies. Kama, etc. Kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, matsaya, lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness, envy. They're within our mind, but they force us to do something. Arjun says, what is it that we're forced, why is it we're forced to do something even against our best interests? Oh, kama, and lust, and anger. These are the enemies of the soul. So we obey them, because we think it's us. We think, oh, this is who I am. But now, with this, because his higher intelligence has awoken, in contact with the Shastra, in contact with the Guru, and this transcendental sound, now he has another perspective, another place to stand, and he's saying, oh, I'm rejecting these demands now. I'm rejecting them. You know, they've not shown me any mercy, these masters of mine, and I've just suffered at the hands of them, birth after birth. So now I'm rejecting them. But what are you going to do? You can't stand on the platform of inactivity. So he says, now I'm approaching you, now please engage me in your service. You see, that's the essential consummation of this realization. We can't just repress the senses. We can't stop doing all these things that are keeping us bound here. We have to have engagements for connecting to Krishna and purifying the senses, the mind, the intelligence. And that's devotional service. So what is really of value? Where should we invest our time? And remember, the more that we go, like they say, the gamblers, I haven't gambled in about 45 years. As a kid, I used to. But you know, you go all in, right? You're all in. But you don't know what the result is. But we know, Krishna's promised. You go all in, and you get it all back. Your return is 100%, for sure. We have to have that faith. And if we have that faith, we'll be inspired to surrender more today than we did yesterday. All of us are on it's a path. It's a bhakti marg path. But how to proceed on that path quickly, rather than slowly, maybe a couple of steps forward, two steps back, you know, three steps forward, four steps back, only five steps forward, one step. Why not just go forward? You know, we have to feel, having that faith, that the more that we give to Krishna, we get it back 100 times, 1,000,000 times. That's Krishna's promise. Even a little advancement protects you from the greatest fear. What to speak of a lot of advancement? You know, don't we want to be happy eternally? Don't we want to live eternally? Intellectually we say yes, but there's so much hesitancy. You know, so that's where special events like this Kirtan Mela, Kadashi is meant to be like that, all the festivals, are meant to kick us up to a higher level where we get more experience, give up more of these anarchas that we're hanging on to, and so that we can treasure more and more the real artha, which is Krishna's lotus feet, the holy name, and experience. You know, Prabhupada, I heard this on a lecture recently on a tape, I listen to one every morning, that how do we know that Krishna is God? You know, do you know the answer? So so devotees were saying, oh, because it says in the Bhagavad Gita. It says, no. Oh, because you told us, Prabhupada. No. Why then? Because you're feeling bliss chanting Hare Krishna. Because you're experiencing Krishna. It has to be real. You know? In my 40 years almost of this being involved, I've seen many ups and downs in the Hare Krishna movement. Anyone who's been around for a while can attest how I'm oh my God, this is it. The movement's finished now. They published this, you know, in Time magazine, some scandalous thing I won't go into. That that's the end. Everyone's going to read that and say, finished. No. It's kept going on. You know, Krishna's protect the movement, Prabhupada's protecting the movement. But the fact of the matter is that more and more and more people are chanting Hare Krishna. They may not be chanting purely, they may not know exactly what it means, they're not chanting for the right reason, but they're chanting. They're chanting. And that chanting is keeping everything flowing and going because there's something there. There's a substance there. It's very, very powerful. This Mahamantra is so powerful. You know, what is that? There's so many wonderful verses, I forget. But, you know, if Krishna, just here's your chanting, Krishna, Krishna, Krishneti. You know, he then remembers you. He remembers you at the time of death. There's so many others, I don't want to misquote them. But it's an extremely powerful mantra. We know the famous one from Kali Santarana Upanishad. that there's no better way in all of the Vedas for counteracting this age of Kali. So my simple point is that we should have faith in the value, in the great value of this movement and the process of Krishna consciousness, and try to refine our practice, try to do more, push ourselves beyond the boundary of that we've kind of set for ourselves, mental, emotional boundaries, that we'll do this but we won't do more. Because the more we do, Krishna's seeing how we're giving more, we're trying harder. The trying harder may just be in improving your japa. You know, a very essential thing. I say just, of course it's the essential thing. Concentrating more. It's like this song, I'll tell you the experience. We sang the Gaur Arti. Now this Gaur Arti song, we used to sing every night when I joined in Brooklyn. And you know, that used to be a regular thing. Everyone came for evening class. I want to speak of morning, right? He's still a great follower of the evening program. So I sang it for so many years, right? But somehow, hearing it again tonight, you know, sung by Bhadra Babu, it just brought back so many memories. I was thinking of, you know what that is? That's a description of the arti, of the Mahaprakash, where Lord Chaitanya revealed himself to all of his devotees as Supreme Personality of Godhead. Very graphic, very inspiring. And is it, what does it say? Jagat Janamoha, that the whole universe, the mind of the whole universe is pleased and attracted. Now that's Bhaktivinoda Thakur saying that. Now we could say, yeah, well, maybe a few people in this room, but everyone out there, they're not thinking about it. But he has this vision that this wonderful arti and Lord Chaitanya's movement and the whole, you know, the Panchatattva, Lord Yananda, they will have more and more influence in this world. And he saw correctly. You know, he wrote the song and the movement. I mean, even the Gaudiya Mutt hadn't been founded yet. And now, all over the world, people know who Gaur Natai is. You know, even this person, he calls up a lawyer, he says, oh, I love prasadam. You know, where does that go? No, because they've been giving out prasadam for so many years in Gainesville, you know, university. So the idea is that somehow it was just so ecstatic to remember, you know, the pastime and to be focused on the meaning of the words. This is a simple thing. Just learn the meaning of all of the mantras that we chant. Think about them. Get absorbed. And then when you come before the deities, it'll be that much deeper in experience. Anyway, it's almost time, and I want to share with you, since it was advertised, I wrote a poem today, or yesterday, a new one. So it's a simple poem, but it's based on quite a verse from Rupa Goswami. So this is, you know, they've been given so many gifts. I mean, the Bhagavatam, the Gita, and writings of the Goswamis, and they're all available now. This is the golden age of the availability of Gaudiya Vaishnava literature. You know, even more than before, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, how many years did he try to find a Chaitanya Charitamrita? 10 years or something, and finally he found one and changed everything. So this is a verse from Stavamala. Let's see if I remember the English. The Sanskrit is easy. No, that's the one. Urari kritamurari tutabangam namatata dadakita noda sadangam yuvadipadayatata madanatatangam pranamata yamana tatakatatangam. See how beautiful the Sanskrit is. So my bumbling English goes something like this. His flute emanates entrancing sounds for the cowherd girls. His flute emanates entrancing sounds for the cowherd girls whose love abounds for their clever cloud complexion lord who was dancing upon the Kabindi shore. Hare Krishna. Hey, like that one. All right, let's try another one. So this is from the Bhagavatam. There's two verses near the beginning of the Vainagita chapter. That's chapter 21 of the 10th canto. Expanded into a beautiful book by Shiva Rama Swami. I highly recommend it. Based on all the writings of the Acharyas. So it sets a scene. The rainy season is over and the Sharad season has begun. And Lord Krishna is going out into the forest with his friends. And the gopis are, of course, going to remember him and chant about him. So he says, Kusumata banada adi shushmi bringa vijukula gushta sadaksari mahidram marupati avagaya chara yunga sahapasu bala balashti kujavena barha piram natavada bapu karna yo karnikara vimbradvasak kanaka kapisham vajayantin chamalan Randran venor apadasudiyapurigan gopavindaya vrindaranyam sopapadamanam pravishad gitakirti. And the English goes something like this. Vrindavan's rivers, lakes, and hills ring out with charming hums and trills as flocks of birds and maddened bees rejoice among the flowering trees. To those idyllic woods and glens repairs Govinda with his friends, Sri Rama and the coward boys, to taste the most exquisite joys. And as they walk along the way, absorbed in herding and in play, Sri Krishna, beauty absolute, begins to blow his mystic flute. With peacock plume upon his head and fragrant flower on each ear, he enters Braj's woods with tread sublime, a dancer without peer. His golden yellow raiment glows, his garland reaches to his knees, and from his lips the nectar flows and fills his flute with melodies. As Krishna thus begins his day with friends who sing his glory sweet, he beautifies the forest way with fine impressions of his feet. Samadhi culminates in this, to always see the scene of bliss within oneself and outside too. May Krishna give this boon to you. Glory. That last verse, that last stanza was from Prabhupada's Krishna book. He says, this is real transcendental meditation. He's speaking how the gopis are thinking of Krishna as he goes. And anyone who sees it inside or outside is really in samadhi. So, 6 o'clock. Any discussion, questions, comments on these points? Damodar?
Thank you very much for asking.
Hare Krishna, glory to Prabhupada.
One question crossed my mind I've been thinking about. Perhaps you're familiar with the verse by Srila Rupa Goswami, which Prabhupada used to bring the phrase Krishna consciousness.
Yes.
Krishna bhakti rasa bhavatam di kirtamita loki lavati tatralaya mula mekulam janakuti sakshana lavati.
Uh-huh.
It says that by collecting sukriti or pious merit, one can have Krishna consciousness in a million years. So I was wondering if that means eternal credits in the sense of hearing devotees chant, taking prasadam, but not really taking the process from mundane piety. And if it means spiritual piety, at what point from hearing, chanting, taking prasadam, does one officially begin bhakti, and why?
Okay, that's a complicated question. I don't know if I know the answer to all of it. But first of all, I don't think it's by Rupa Goswami. I think it's included in his Padyavali. But that Padyavali is a compendium of his favorite verses, most of which are not by him. But anyway, wherever it's from, yes. Tatra lauli mabimur, so he's speaking about greed there. He said, it's very poetic. He says, it's Krishna bhakti rasa bhavitam ati, which Prabhupada took to say, this is where Krishna consciousness came from. Literally means the mind absorbed in Krishna bhakti rasa, melody. You should buy it if you can find it in the marketplace. You know, but you have to have the price. And the mulyam, the ekalam, the only mulya, the only price is laulyam, in very poetic. Greed. You will not get either the bhakti or the greed through millions of births of material piety. Material piety. Now, sukriti, when just used as it alone, generally means material. But there's also, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur taught us, bhaktun mukhi sukriti. And that's why that verse in the Bhagavatam says that kṛta puṇya puṇja, that the coward boys had amassed, in Prabhupada's immortal phrase, heaps of piety, and therefore they were able to play with Krishna on an equal level. Whereas others who regard him as the Supreme Lord or whatever, a Brahmin can't. So there's that type of piety. It means bhakti credits. So at what point? No, there's no point at which material piety can produce bhakti piety. That has to be, again, the association of a pure devotee. You know, we're one, he, as Prabhupada immortally said, he created our piety. Who are we? Oh, we may have done something in a past life or not, but whatever it was, Prabhupada came and he took his raw material, which is, you know, pretty crude, you know, and somehow or other he got us and all of us chanting Hare Krishna. And as soon as you start to chant Hare Krishna, all bets are off. Your previous life doesn't make any difference. It just depends on how sincerely you chant and how purely you chant, and everything else which flows from it, you know. So but developing the greed is key, and it's not easy. That's why I always pray in another verse, in that Padyavali, there's the song of the miser. You know the song of the verse of the miser? Vichayani, Vichayani, Vichanjani Punak Punaham. Kupanasya Dhananiva Tunnamani Bhavantunaham. Compelled to constantly collect and count his precious hoard, the miser contemplates his wealth with avaricious aims. Please bless me to become a miser who's compelled, O Lord, to constantly collect and count and contemplate your names. Is it? So greed is good. What's that phrase? Greed is good, right? Don't take it out of context. Provided this greed for the holy names, for Krishna, for service, you know, for serving the devotees. But how to get that greed? That's something that's given to us by sincere service to the lotus feet of the spiritual master. Good.
And one thing, the way you can probably say, occupy your heart.
Occupy, now in the occupy movement.
Okay. Occupy your heart with the holy name.
Yes, fill your name. Uh-huh. Yeah. As that famous, to rise another verse, diyatam diyatam karno, niyatam niyatam vajah, giyatam giyatam nicham harinam anakevalam. Just fill your ears, just fill them with the name of Sri Hari. Mm-hmm. Just chant the name with all sincerity. Just sing the name, just sing the holy name eternally. The holy name of Sri Hari is surely all that be. This is from the Kevalashtika. Yes, go. Hi, Valma. Nice to see you.
I was just going to ask, you should be also that you mentioned something about video games or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Actually, there was one story, and maybe someone could correct me on that. Maybe you can, the other day, the Rita Swami disciple, but some kid who was playing one of those games, I think it was in Australia, I don't remember all the details, but they had the name Goranga in this video game. And he kept playing the video game so much that he kept hearing Goranga, and they became his brother's initiated.
Well, just see, everything can be dovetailed. Well, I mean, it's kind of like that. You know, the kirtan goes on, you go all night, right? So you can get addicted to that. That's fine. But the point is, what is the side effect? It's all wholesome. But the side effect of these material, you know, the modes of nature, you know, video games is negative. Okay, everybody, and the all glorious Srila Prabhupada.